Hey, morning, church.
Morning.
Morning to those worshiping with us online, Facebook live streaming right now. So glad that you're a part of our church now. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We launch a new series this morning called This Is Us, all about relationships, and the relationships we'll focus on this morning are, first of all, our relationships with one another and also our relationships as a church with our community. And we're going to land this morning's message on how those things fit together to do what God has called us to do, to reach into our community. Last year about this time, I stood here and I said, a leader's job is to do at least two things. Number one is to define reality. And number two is to say thank you. Number one, to define reality. Number two is to say thank you. And the reality that I defined last year was decidedly different than what it is when I stand here today. So I could start by saying, well, what a difference a year makes. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look back a little bit at last year, and we're going to celebrate some wins. God did some good things in our midst. Amen. Raise your hand and say amen if you'd like to celebrate some wins. Say amen.
Amen.
We're going to celebrate some wins. Then I'm going to give a word of caution. Wins are great, but I'm going to give a word of caution. It's literally going to be one word that I'm going to put up on the screen. I'll illustrate for us. And then we're going to end by answering the question, now what? Celebrate some wins, a word of caution, and then we're going to answer the question, now what, right here. So a year ago, I stood here and I said, here is our reality. Here's our reality. With some research, we learned that from 2005 to 2016, our membership of our church actually went down 40%. It's a hard reality. We had to accept it. The attendance of our church during that same window, 11 years, experienced 11 straight years of decline, down 18% gradually. That was our reality last year. Now, what a difference a year makes, because you go, man, in the midst of a prolonged season of decline, and by any measure, that's a prolonged season of significant decline, we're prompted to ask a question, gosh, can God bring resurgence? Can God bring revival or renewal? And the answer is yes, he's done some amazing things. We came across the insights and the research of a man named Ken Pretty. Ken Pretty leads a church revitalization ministry in our denomination, goes all over the world trying to help revitalize churches. And here's a quote from Ken Pretty. This is what he says. He says, a church in a prolonged season of decline can still be primed for a new season of incline, but not without a what? Let's say it together. An outward focused vision. An outward focused vision. Can't experience a season of incline without an outward focused vision. And so you may recall, if you don't remember this, that's okay. I'll reset it for you. About 8 months ago to the day, I stood before you the weekend after Easter, and I said, we are launching a new 3 to 5 year vision here at CPC. And it is, we believe, an outward focused vision. We prepared for months to launch it, and it was all around this one word right here, reach. Reach. We're going to exist to reach people for Christ, all built around the word reach. And the word reach was actually an acronym, and it went with some other words that carried some significant impact and vision with them, and this is what was the breakdown. The R stands for renew, the E, engage, the A, attract, the C, care, the H, help. And let me just explain what these means. This will be a recap for some of us. Renew, a gospel movement among the unchurched 95% of the San Ramon Valley. Here's what we mean by that. We want the gospel to begin to move in the midst of people who are outside of the church. And we want to draw them into church and in relationship with Jesus. On any given weekend, there are 100,000 people in the San Ramon Valley. That's Alamo, Danville, San Ramon. If you include Doherty Valley, that's another 70,000 people. And 95% of them on any given weekend are not in a church. If you include the Doherty Valley, it's 97%. So we want to see God renew a gospel movement. Let's go back to that slide. Let's leave it up there for a few minutes. We want to see God renew a gospel movement among the unchurched 95% of the San Ramon Valley. The E stands for engage. Engage all generations. Nobody gets left behind. Engage all generations through gatherings, groups, and technology. The A is to attract the next generation of young families and students. Any organization, any church, in order to survive and thrive into the future, you have to learn how to reach the next generation. So we want to attract the next generation of young families and students. The C stands for care, for hurting people with the hope of the gospel, and the H is to help. We want to be a church that helps people generously leverage their time and their talent and their treasure. And we believe, what a difference a year makes, that God did some amazing things as we began to walk into the REACH vision. I want to share a few of this. Not a comprehensive list, but it's a few. We'll start with renew. We'll start with the word renew. Now, under the banner of renew, the easiest indicator of renewal among unchurched people beginning to come to church is actually just to look around and see, are more people coming? Is there a distance? Is there a difference in attendance? Because our attendance was down for 11 straight years. And the good news is God did spark a little bit of movement. Here are our numbers in terms of attendance. Year to date, our attendance is up overall 6%. Since we reopened this sanctuary on the weekend of September 10th, it's up 13%. On Christmas Eve, it was up 21%. We saw for the first time over 5,000 people here. Those are just adults. 5,000 people here on Christmas Eve. That's a good indicator of growth. And yet, we want to reach people with the gospel message. And we want to give people a chance to respond to the gospel message of what Jesus has done for them. And namely, offered forgiveness for their sins and an eternal relationship with God. And so we gave people a chance to respond to the gospel. And these numbers, I believe, are even more encouraging. The next one. And that is 405 commitments last year to follow Jesus, 89 new members into our church, and 36 people got baptized. Now, that's super encouraging. One thing I want to point out, though, this is the number of baptisms. This seems to me a little low compared to this number right here. See, lots of people raising their hands, committing their lives to Christ, taking a yes packet, says, I follow Jesus now, or recommitting their lives, and not as many people getting baptized. So I would just like to invite anyone, if you're an adult who's a believer in Christ and you've never been baptized, come, we do it a few times a year. Be baptized here in front of our church. Just a public proclamation of faith, a very, very exciting thing to do. Or if you were baptized as an infant and you'd like to experience that as an adult, you could reaffirm your baptism. Just a great way to basically say, I follow Jesus. So those are encouraging numbers. Like, why are people responding to the gospel in that way? Why are we seeing that type of response? I believe it's this, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. And the Apostle Paul says this. This is consistent with my own heart. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe that this morning? Say amen. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power to bring resurgence and revival and renewal. The gospel is the power to change a heart and transform a life and a family. The gospel is the power to help someone who's feeling overwhelmed in their life. The gospel is the power to bring someone hope in the midst of their fears. The gospel is the power to bring someone hope in the midst of their regrets, hope in the midst of their brokenness. The gospel is the power for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe that? Just clap if you believe that. So we love, and I love, and I'll just recommit before you guys, we are going to teach and preach and share the gospel week in and week out and give people a chance to respond, because the gospel is the power that drives everything that we do here. The R stands for renew. The E stands for engage. Engage all generations through three things: gatherings, groups, and technology. Let's take a look at that. The easiest way to think of gatherings is what we're doing right now. This is a worship gathering, and a few months ago, we did something significant. We remodeled the sanctuary, and we unified our worship gatherings across generations. So any given week, like today, you might have a family with an 8-year-old baby, and you've got 88, 98-year-old senior citizens, and everything in between, and we love it. It's beautiful. It's the body of Christ. And we get to worship together. We piloted it a few times over several seasons, and people liked it. We sensed they wanted it. We wanted to unify our church. And so we remodeled this sanctuary, and we've been in here for a few months, and we're loving it. Now, speaking of those 8-year-old babies, sometimes they get hungry. And so one of the other things we did in this remodel was we remodeled this family room kind of around the corner for young families. We have space for nursing moms, comfortable furniture, closed circuits, TV on live streaming. You're probably some young families in there right now. Just a way to invest in someone who is part of our target through gatherings. What about groups? See any growth in groups? The three most obvious groups that we talk about here, because they're scalable and they got a large ceiling, are life groups, women's ministries, and men's groups, men's ministries. These numbers represent the growth that God brought in these areas. 35% growth in our life groups. 850 adults now in 70 different groups that meet weekly or every other week throughout our church. Now, the coolest part about this is that does not include our women's groups or women's ministries or our men's groups and men's ministries. Those are just the small groups. So our women's ministries, here's what these numbers show. 592 is the record-setting number of women who have signed up and are a part of our weekly women's discipleship ministries. 592 women. And that number does not include this one because that's the 165 kids that they bring with them week in and week out. This is all in the midweek. Amazing movement in our women's ministries, and we're very grateful for that. What about the, and by the way, if you're a woman and you're not connected, we got six great women's groups that would all welcome you into their midst, and maybe this is the year that you get connected into a women's ministry. And what about the men's? The men's, 135 is our average attendance in men's fraternity. Jeremiah mentioned it. It's our weekly discipleship, 6 a.m. in this room, done by 7, off to work, and it's a solid hour of both studying scripture but also talking about it and applying it to our lives. It's awesome. And there's also 1,000 men that over the last year came to men's dinners, heard an equipping message, a gospel message. And the good news about these men's dinners is 90% of the tickets sold are a half table or a full table. So you men who come to these dinners are using this as an opportunity to invite, to invest in relationships with people outside of the church and invite them to connect in our men's ministries. And if you came in a little late, one of the things Jeremiah mentioned is that we're now having signups open for our men's retreat. That's coming up the first week in March, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at Mount Hermon. We would love to have you there, a fabulous speaker coming in for that. Gatherings, groups, and the third part of engaging all generations is technology. Huge engagement leap in technology. Social media, our engagement number is up 254%. This is a really, really cool number because this means Instagram, Facebook, live streaming, people now that we do Facebook. Some cool thing happened last week. I just want to tell you, I forgot to say it at 9 a.m. So don't tell them. I'm going to tell you now. Last week at this service, the 10:45 service, for the first time, there were actually more people watching online in the community and the country, the world, who knows, than were actually in the building. More people watching online than were in the building. That's awesome, and that's the potential that we have with technology. Now, just one word about that. There are some of us who, in the midst of the remodel, we look over at those windows, and I love the view out those windows just like you do. And if I had my preference, I would have those things up during the services. But we can't live stream services, which has been the goal for months, to thousands of people and have people that came up to me like last week, a girl who says, I live in Laos, and I live stream from Asia. It's really, really cool, CPC services. We can't have those things if we have the natural light of the windows. So we have the windows open before, we have the windows open after, but during the services, we have the windows closed because live streaming and leveraging technology is a way we're gonna be able to reach way more people in the coming months and years with the message of the gospel. Very excited about that. You might have seen things trending on social media like hashtag love does and hashtag serve day. Hashtag reach one, thrill of hope, those types of things. I just want to encourage you, whenever you like and share these things on your social media platforms, you expand the reach of our church and the gospel message exponentially. The R is for renew. The E is for engage. The A is for attract. Trying to attract the next generation of young families and students. Concurrent with relaunching this sanctuary in here in September, we also had the opportunity to do something that was really cool. And that is, we had the multi-purpose room, which is the gym, freed up to create space for CPC Kids, and we got to relaunch our CPC Kids program and Kids Church to rave reviews, and we have two evidences of these rave reviews that they're pretty much miraculous if you think about it. Number one, we have families with small children. You ready for this? Showing up to church early. They're coming in at like 8:50, 8:55 before the first service, and 10:35, 10:40 before the second service because their kids want to be a part of the CPC Kids program. They like what's going on in that gym. And the second proof that we like what we're doing in terms of attracting the next generation of young families and kids is we see kids coming out of our children's ministries looking like that. And that is a total win, because if you have church, if you have kids crying because they're leaving church, that is a win, baby. I'm sorry, Johnny, it's time to go. No. I'm like, man, that is so good. The culmination of a lot of what God did in the last year in our children's ministry, it was in December, we had a CPC kids and family Christmas event in this room. Took out all the chairs. We thought we could fit about 500 or 600 kids and parents in here, and it was packed. It was packed. We had a reading of a Christmas story by Doug Thompson. We had Christmas carols sung with a band. They watched the movie. They had popcorn. They did crafts back there. It was absolutely packed. Here's just a snapshot of that night. It was an incredible event for our community. Take a look at this. Great stuff going on with CPC Kids. And before we talk about our students, our middle school students, our high school students, I asked Ryan Suzuki, our children's pastor. By the way, he preached last week, did an amazing job. You can watch it online, cpcdanville.org. I said, hey, Ryan, are there students that are like turning around and serving while they're students and serving in our CPC Kids area? He goes, yeah, I'll get you the numbers. Turns out there are 31 students who serve in CPC Kids that last year gave 3,500 hours of service to give back to that next generation. It's so cool to see that. What about students? I think the most visible one is probably our high school ministry, Rock, and we have two anchor trips that are fantastic. The first one is our Mexico trip. It happens every spring break. 275 students and adult staff who go down, and last year and the year before, they built 15 homes for underprivileged families in Mexico in a week. They give up their spring break. That trip is sold out again this year, outstanding. And the big outreach event in the summer is this trip called Houseboats. You might have heard of it. 350 students and adult volunteers on the Delta. By the way, just to set your minds at ease, this is our picture, this is our picture, this is a stock photo. These are not our kids. You feel better about that? It may or may not be true. I'm just kidding. That trip is amazing. 24 houseboats, 15 ski boats, just an armada on the water, and a gospel message throughout the week. Just an incredible opportunity to minister to students, and also a weekly discipleship at the high school level on Monday nights at Rock. We also have junior high ministries, middle school ministries, Wildside 7-8 and Wildside 5-6, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Here's a picture. Doesn't that just make you miss middle school? I mean, isn't that amazing? No lifeguards in that picture either, which is incredible. Now, this is from Mount Hermon and the middle school trip there. Incredible Wildside ministries as well. So trying to attract the next generation, reach the next generation of young families and kids and students. The R is renew, the E is engage, the A is attract, the C is care. Care. We want to be a church who cares for hurting people with the hope of the gospel. Pastor Heidi Johnson leads our care ministries. We have a fleet of care ministries. We have divorce care. We have grief share. We have a counseling center, Community Presbyterian Counseling Center in San Ramon, that last year saw 890 different people and counseled them. Just amazing ministries. And Pastor Heidi says, we're starting to experience what she calls the care effect. And the care effect is one of the biggest things we do is we care for people in crisis in their lives. Like, for instance, memorial services. I'm going to show you a picture here of student deacons and some of our adult deacons. And this is an intergenerational group of people. The deacons are like the hands and the feet of Christ who serve, ordained officers in our church. And one of the ways they do it, in addition to hospital visits and home visits, is for memorial services. We host more memorial services than any church in the valley. And it's an incredible opportunity to care for people and families in our community in moments of crisis. So what we're starting to see is that people who've been cared for, they go, wow, they were there for me. So there is where I want to be. So they come back and they want to worship with us and be a part of our church. An example of that, and just a way to reach and serve our community, was a couple of months ago, a prominent local man. Do you remember Arlie Smith, the Costco guy who used to work at Costco? Well, when he passed away, he was a strong Christian with a wide reach of relationships in our community. We were able to host that memorial service here. It was packed like it is here this morning, like 800 people. Just an incredible outreach to our community. And we want to reach our community by caring for them. Renew, engage, attract, care, and then the H is to help. To help people generously leverage their lives in three ways: time, talent, and treasure. Now the time piece, I think the most obvious way that we leveraged all of our time together to serve and to help people in our community last year would probably be Serve Day. Do you remember Serve Day? Serve Day weekend, 1,500 people closed the church services, 1,500 people, 26 different projects all over the Bay Area throughout the weekend. I love that one of those projects was led by a high school senior, Jackson Carter. And he had young people, old people, everybody in between as part of his project, but he got to lead one. This is a group serving here at the church, and the next picture is a group at Kids Against Hunger in Pleasanton, served tens of thousands of meals. Incredible opportunity on Serve Day weekend. We're trying to forge these great partnerships with these awesome schools that we have on our campus, SRVCA and CPP. And one highlight of Serve Day is we had 61 parents and kids from SRVCA that participated in our Serve Day. And so cool to see that partnership forged as well. That's leveraging our time. Serve Day was outstanding. Love that. What about leveraging our talents, our gifts to serve here in the church? One highlight, again, this isn't comprehensive, it's some wins that we get to celebrate, is last summer, at the end of the summer, do you remember that we were all squeezed into the multipurpose room all summer? Do you guys remember that? It's kind of nice to have a little more room, isn't it? Just spread out a little bit. Well, we spoke to this Reach vision for 3 to 5 minutes every week during the summer. This is what's coming, this is what's coming, this is what's coming. At the end of the summer, we said two areas that we'd like to emphasize in terms of service and giving you a chance to volunteer are the CPC Kids Ministry and also our guest services. And so we said, we're just going to make the ask now for you to volunteer. We're looking for new volunteers in CPC Kids and guest services. And in two straight weekends, we got 151 of you that said, I'll be a part of the CPC Kids team. And 129 of you that said, I'll be a part of the guest services team. 280 new volunteers in 2 weeks at the end of the summer. It was outstanding just to see you guys respond to that. Just outstanding. So that's time, that's talent, just an example of people giving their talent to serve. What about treasure? One of my most favorite things about you, about our church, is that God is so faithful at stirring our hearts to give our treasure. And you are so faithful and responsive when he stirs your heart to give generously. Just want to give you a few examples of this. Last year, at the end of the year, the last 2 weeks, we have these two strong giving weeks. And our church finished ahead of budget. And our fiscal year budget goes July 1st to June 30th. But at the halfway point, we're ahead of budget. And in addition to our operating budget, you guys gave $105,000 to support our 15 of our mission partners at Gift World. You gave $110,000 in the Christmas special offering. You gave another $20,000+ in gift cards to support the Napa Sonoma fire victims. You sent 4.5 trailers full of goods and items up to bless people who had lost everything. We set aside 4 weeks for you to have an opportunity to adopt 300 families for Adopt-A-Family. These are needy families in our community that would not have had Christmas without our intervention and our service and our help. And we set aside 4 weekends for you to adopt 300 families. All 300 families gone in 1 weekend. You just gobble them all up and said, we want to give these guys Christmas. We also set aside 2 weekends for you to sponsor 50 new children in Centauro Village, Ethiopia, a holistic, educational, gospel-centered sponsorship so that they can have a life that they never could have had without your intervention. And guess what? Those 50 new children were sponsored in 1 weekend to bring our total to 300 children at Centauro Village, Ethiopia, sponsor. I mean, you guys are amazing, and I just thank God for the way that you respond by giving your treasure. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Reach vision, renew, engage, attract, care, help. Look what God has done just in the last year. It's just amazing. And as I prayed and as I thought, here's the amazing thing. God kept bringing me back to this one little part in Ephesians chapter 3 where he kept prompting me, reminding me like, we're just getting started. I want you to look at these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I just shared them at our staff chapel this last week. It says, now to him, this is God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. This is our God. He can do immeasurably, I mean, the gospel is the power, and he can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. God is accomplishing things. God is working in and through our church and in and through your lives by his power and for his glory and for our good. And he's like prompting us. He's going like, I can do so much more. Like, I felt like he was kind of saying like, are you guys really ready to like go? Like, CPC, are you ready to take the training wheels off? Because I could do so much more in terms of reaching our community. And so when we look at God doing more, even beyond what he's done in the last year, we got a word of caution. A word of caution. Literally, one word. And before I put the word up here, I want to tell you a story to illustrate it. Once a year, a few days before Thanksgiving Day, I take my three sons, Trevor, Owen, and Cole, away on a little Scott Boys trip. We go away, and this is our spot. This is where we go. Manhattan Beach. That's a picture of Manhattan Beach down in Southern California. Road trip, minivan, movies in the back, in and out, the whole deal. We go down there. We spend 3 days. We splash. We play. We surf. We boogie board. We make memories. It's just a great way to bond and to spend time together. And this is our spot. This is a picture I took at our last trip. That's Owen, my middle son, there in the corner on a bike, just watching the waves and the sunset. And in the midst of this picture, which is kind of like our spot, our spot within the spot is actually just on the other side of the pier where we usually set up shop for the day. And then we go surfing in that little surf break right out there. And the boys go out there and, I mean, We bought a beater surfboard. It was a used surfboard, had all these dents in it, but it was shored up, and it came with a leash and fins and a bag, which is great because it protects it from those three little animals in the back of the minivan. And we go out, and we used it every day, and now we have it, and the whole thing, $150 from a surf store. So we go out that way, push the boys into the white water, and they surf a little bit and make a couple cars, but something happens every single time they get in the water, that's consistent with something that happens to us. It's a relational tendency. It's an organizational tendency. It's an institutional tendency. And they get in the water, and they move out a little bit. And over time, if I'm sitting here watching them, gradually they start to move in the water. And they get a little bit further and further away from their father. And pretty soon, you can see a lifeguard stand here. They're like a lifeguard stand away. Then they're 10 minutes later, they move a little bit more, and they're two lifeguard stands away. They don't even notice. And then another 10 minutes, and they're like three lifeguard stands away. And then I got to get up, and I got to walk all the way down the beach. And I got to wave them out, say, come on back in. So they get out, and they bring their surfboard and their boogie boards, and they walk all the way back next to the pier, and then they get in again. And what that phenomenon is that's consistent with human relationships and organizational behavior and institutional behavior. In a word, it's our word of caution today. Here's what it is. In a word, it's this right here. Drift. Drift. We are prone to drifting. And every human being, based on our own sinful nature, drifts in at least two ways. And the two ways that we all drift is we drift away from God. None of us on our own drift toward God. That's all over Scripture. No one's righteous. No one seeks God. No one drifts toward God. We always drift, if left unkept, we drift away from God, and we drift inwardly toward each other. God is interested in our character. If we're really honest, mostly interested in our comfort. And so to be comfortable, we drift inwardly toward each other. We do it in groups. We do it in relationships. We do it as a church. And so our word of caution, yeah, we celebrated some wins, but our word of caution as a church is beware of this thing called drift. And let me just illustrate how subtle it is. Cool things happened here this last year. We've looked at a few of them. But let's just do a recap. Remodeling this sanctuary, and it's awesome. Redoing CPC Kids in the multipurpose room, and it's awesome. Redoing the family room where there's probably some families watching on this live streaming, and it's awesome. Revamping our guest service teams, and it's awesome. But quietly, every one of those things is internal. And yet you look at the Reach vision, you go, the Reach vision is an outward-facing vision. I mean, with the exception of Engage, which is probably an inward thing. Engage all generations, gathering groups and technology, that's inward. The other ones, you know, renew, attract, care, help. It's all outward-facing stuff. It's an outward-facing vision. And in the first year of walking into it very quietly, because we tend to drift, everything we've done, and it's necessary, it's been effective, we enjoy it, it's been inward. So now what? I mean, what does 2018 look like in terms of our relationships with each other and with the church? I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, if God can do more, he's done some great stuff, but he wants to do more, we got to be aware of this drift. Now what? Now what? So we go before the Lord, and we pray, we listen, Lord, what do you want us to do? And he whispers, because he's so faithful, have you really started to walk out into this Reach vision? And we go, well, kind of. And so if we're looking for a word that will kind of show us where we're going to do, we're going to double down this next year on the Reach vision, the outward focused vision, with one word that we're going to emphasize throughout everything that we do, and it's this word right here, outreach. Outreach. Outreach, reaching out with the love of Christ, reaching out with the gospel message, reaching out to our friends, reaching out to our neighbors. It's outreach. I felt so compelled to this that I met with the elders and the deacons, the ordained leadership of our church. I met with our staff. I met with everybody. And I bought these for everybody because I said, I want everybody thinking and viewing everything we do through outreach glasses. So I bought everybody a pair of these, and I said, this is part of our required uniform as a church here at CPC. These outreach glasses. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's CPC Kids, it's outreach. If it's women's ministry, it's outreach. If it's men's ministry, it's outreach. If it's missions, it's outreach. Like thinking of terms of how we reach out into our community. I got a great staff photo. This is our staff photo right here. This is us. This is us. This is how we roll every day. Everything through an outreach lens because... Well, here, I know this about you. I don't know everything about you, but I know this because I observe you and I love worshiping with you and I love celebrating what God has done in our midst. But one of the things I observe about you is you were, over the last year, without question, the weekend that you were most alive as a church was Serve Day weekend. I mean, you guys were on fire, and you guys were out and about, and you guys were using your gifts to serve, and you guys were reaching people with the love and the service of Jesus, and you guys were on fire. And then we came back the week after, and we had microphones rolling around, and I was here, and Jeremiah was here, and Kathy was here, and Deanna was here. We were all rolling around doing it, and you guys couldn't stop talking about it. He's like, I'm 88, and I was serving next to a teenager, or I'm a teenager, and I was serving next to a baby boomer and kids over here, and it was so great to be together, and you guys were alive. But here's why you were so alive. You and we were doing what God created us to do as a church, which is to be out reaching people with the love and the grace and the service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were out reaching people. And so our theme for this next year is going to be outreach. We're going to walk into our community because we're going to guard against this drift away. And you might be sitting here going, okay, in these last minute or two that we have, how do we enter into this individually and collectively as a church? Like, how can you do this? And what's cool is Jesus calls our attention to two primary relationships that will naturally, organically help us enter into this lifestyle of reaching out into our community. And it happens, this guy comes up to Jesus and says, can you simplify it for me? Like, how do I get in on this? How do I live this life? How do I summarize the law for me? Summarize the prophets for me? Summarize, like, what does it mean? What does it all mean? And Jesus makes it so simple. Here's the scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourselves. Do you see the relationships with God and with neighbors? I'm not giving you a 5-point plan, a new program for outreach. That's not the way we're going to roll. Jesus says, you want a heart of outreach, which obviously Jesus had. He came and he gave his life. No one has a bigger heart for outreach than God himself. Jesus says, this is how. Love God and love your neighbors. And it really comes down to this word right here, time. Time. Time with God. Time with your neighbors. How do I spend time with God? Well, maybe just read his word for just a few minutes each day. Maybe start in the Gospel of John or the book of James. Or maybe, you know what, you don't have a Bible. Grab a Bible off one of our book racks. We have racks of Bibles in the back. So if you don't own one, grab one. It's our gift to you. We'd love to have God's word in your hand. Last week I was in Minnesota for a week, and that is way too long to be in temperatures that are 25 below zero. But I grabbed a Bible off of my father-in-law's little book rack. I started reading. I go, gosh, that looks familiar. I opened up. It's a Bible from our church. I go, you stole a Bible from our church. I can't believe it. He's like, no, you gave it to me. It was a good reminder. If you don't own a Bible, take one. It's our gift to you. Or maybe the physical, maybe it's like in your phone. You could sign up for a daily devotional that gets pushed into your phone. 2 to 5 minutes every day, just a little bit of God's word. And you spend time with God, your heart for outreach grows because God has an outreach heart. Same thing with our neighbors. Time with neighbors is the most effective way for us to grow and reach out into our community. It's not a program, it's just you loving your neighbors, the person who lives next to you, the person who works in the cube or the office next to you for 8 hours a day, the student who sits at the desk next to you for 8 hours every day on a regular rhythm. These are our neighbors, time with our neighbors. A friend of mine said this last week, and this is before he even knew where I was going in this message, he goes, one of the things that he shared, a goal for he and his wife, they said, once a quarter, 4 times a year, they're going to invite different neighbors from their neighborhood just over to their house for dinner. That's it. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. That's exactly how to just step into this lifestyle of reaching out with the love of Christ. Just love your neighbors. It's time with God, time with neighbors. That's where we're called to go in this next year. It's not a program for outreach. It's just time with those two primary relationships, just God says, with me and with your neighbors. And that's where this increase comes. Lord, thank you for the wins we get to celebrate. Thank you for the word of caution that we all have a tendency to drift. And thank you for reminding us, if you want me to do more, immeasurably more than you can ask for or imagine, just more time with God and with our neighbors is a simple recipe for outreach.